I'm an addict. Name's Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Would you help me reopen this meeting with the serenity prayer, please? God, grant me serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. As I said, my name is Joe, and I am an addict. My clean date is March 10th of 1993. And a friend of mine asked me to come up here and speak on making amends, and you know, I got to be honest with you here. I just got on the ninth step. And, you know, that's from a lack of work in my program, sometimes I call it, is like my procrastination. I get caught up in life, and sometimes I, you know, I know that, you know, recovery should come first. I have small children, a wife, job. You know, I let life get in the way sometimes, and I forget to put recovery first sometimes. So I just started on my ninth step. Now, that's not to say that I haven't made amends throughout my journey here. I know when I first walked into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, your feelings start coming back and your emotions start coming back once you stop putting that drug in you. And for me, like I wanted to say I'm sorry to a lot of people early on in recovery. And I remember I had like 90 days clean. And, you know, I had a sponsor, but I'm sitting in the kitchen of my parents' house, and my mother's sitting there, and I'm looking at her, and I just wanted to say that I was sorry to her. And, you know, I says, Mom, you know, I need to talk to you. I says, you know, I'm doing this thing, going to meetings and stuff, and I need to apologize. And she said, stop right there. And I looked at her, and she said, whatever you're doing right now, you continue to do. You don't have to tell me you're sorry. Because in 90 days, she had started to see a change in her son. You know, and every time I think about that, that gives me chills to this day, hearing that from her. So, you know, but throughout the time, there's amends. Like when I was using, I hurt a lot of people, you know. And I spoke to my sponsor on this step. And actually, as you know, I talked about what harm meant, you know, and what the definition of harm is. You know, most people would just say, well, harm's when you hurt somebody. Well, hurt them in what manner? You know, I hurt people physically, emotionally, financially, all these different ways I've harmed people over the years. Especially when I say over the years because I did it a lot when I was using, and I've also done it when I've been clean. You know, so I made this list of people that I had harmed, and we talked about willingness too. You know, I had to become willing to make these amends to them. You know, and for me, it means that I wanted to do it from my heart and my gut. You know, not just to go up to tell somebody, "Hey, I'm sorry." You know, I had to really want to make that amends. You know, I'm looking at this list. I make this list, and I'm looking at the list, and I made this list a while ago. I sat on that step for a long time. I wrote on these things. I made the list, and I set it up on a shelf. You know, and maybe I just wasn't willing at that time to make the amends. I don't know. But over the years, I have made amends to people on numerous occasions. But I spoke with my sponsor, and he said for me to go home and start writing letters, because there's some people that have passed away that I have to make amends. I had to make amends to, and just because they're dead doesn't mean that I can't make an amends to them. It's you know, because what I read in the ninth step is that, you know, it's my guilt. See, making amends is for me. It's not about the other person. It's for me. It's to get rid of my guilt, you know. And if the other person gets rid of their anger, then so be it. But if they keep their anger and they don't respond how I expect them to respond, you know, when I go into a situation, I have to be prepared for that. Some people might still be so mad at me that they won't accept the amends. But if I make the amends, you know, I'm doing it for me, not for that individual. I'm doing it. It's about me and working my program. So I went home and, you know, I started writing these letters to people. And it was difficult. There was one person that I had a difficult time writing a letter to. And it's tough to talk about sometimes because, you know, the person's no longer here. And I had, excuse me. I had a difficult time writing this letter because it was to my grandmother. And it still hurts. You know, I wrote all these letters. I went home and I wrote all these letters, but I didn't write that one. And last night, I was having a difficult time knowing I was going to come up here and speak, and this letter wasn't written. And so at midnight last night, I woke up. I didn't even fall asleep. And I went out to my living room, sat down at the desk, and wrote this letter. And well, I never did this up here speaking before. But you know what? It felt good. It felt good to write that letter. Because of the guilt, my guilt. See, that guilt still hurts me, you know. Even though I wrote that letter, but the guilt still, it's lessened. But, you know, there's somebody that I love very much in my life that I hurt very much and I stole from and I, you know, that had a lot of trust in me, a lot of trust in me when she was alive. And the addiction, you know, because we learn to become very manipulative people, that we can make them think something, but deep in their hearts, I think they knew, you know, and I think she knew. But that was a very hard letter to write, very hard. And you know, so, but you know what, I was able to lay my head down last night and go to sleep after I wrote it, you know, because the tears came last night too. And, like, I don't even know if you can read the ink because the tears got on the piece of paper that I was writing it on. But, and you know, and it's amazing how these steps work for us, and what it does and the relief that it gives us. And for me, that was a big step. That was a big step. And sometimes, like, when I've worked the steps up to this point, you know, I'm a sick individual. Just because I have 10 years clean doesn't mean that I'm just going to be this perfect human being. You know, I have just today. That's all I have. And it's a process. And some people's process takes longer than others. And but you know what? I'm better than I was yesterday. I'm better than I was 10 years ago. You know, and it's all because of this program. You know, I'll cherish that letter. Now, what I'm going to do with that letter, you know, I mean, I'll talk to my sponsor about that after that, you know. But like I said, it was a relief after I wrote that letter. I think, you know, making amends, you know, I also read in the basic text has told me on this step that, you know, when you make this list, you know, and you see these people, you know, it says to make a direct amends, face-to-face. I'm not going to be calling them up on the phone, you know. I mean, I need to see these individuals, and I need to make this direct amends to them whenever possible, it says in the step, you know, except when to injure them or others. And others is me, so I can be injured during doing this step also. So that's where you have the relationship with your sponsor, to talk to your sponsor about these certain individuals and these certain situations to get the guidance to find out how to make the amends. You know, for me, that letter was just such a big step for me, and it just keeps coming in my head. I don't know if I need to keep talking about this or not, but it's, you know, the relief that I have. But you know, I was able to lay my head down on the pillow last night. I was able to fall asleep. I woke up this morning, and as I said, I have a 4- and a 6-year-old. They start right off the bat. They're yelling and screaming in the house, and you know, and I'm trying, you know, I'm reading on this step, and I'm, you know, trying to not make any more amends that I have to make, you know, because when I wrote this list, every week I was adding a name to it, you know, because I mean, I hurt people in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous too. I might just say something, knowing that that might hurt that person, but I say it and I hurt them. And that means that I've got to make an amends to that person down the road. You know, my kids are running around, they're screaming. You know, my wife, now this was early this morning when I first got up. My kids came into our bedroom, they're laying in the bed, they want to watch cartoons. You know, they're fighting and wrestling in the bed. My wife still wants to sleep, and she's like, and she says, you know, if you make another noise, if you don't just watch that TV, I'm going to shut the TV off. And I'm in there shaving, listening to this, and their kids are, they're still wrestling, you know, they're not paying attention to her. And then she says it again. She says it again. You know, she said it 3 times. And then finally, I just threw my razor down and walked in and said, listen, if you're going to tell them you're going to shut the TV off, shut it off. You know, they're not going to learn any other way. If you say you make any more noise, you're going to shut the TV off, shut the TV off. And I went over and shut the TV off and made the kids leave. And, but I held on to that anger that I had towards my wife because she wasn't doing what she was saying. And before I left to come up here, I sort of said a few choice words to her about it. You know, so I'm driving up here with these other fellows, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm coming up here to speak on amends, and I got to go right back home after this meeting. I got to make an amends to my wife, you know. You know, but that's how this program is. I mean, we do things, we say things, but, you know, we have to be responsible. And we have to make these amends to people, you know, or we're just going to keep on stuffing this stuff. We're going to keep on getting sicker, and we're going to keep feeling the guilt, and we're not going to be able to go on. You know, it talks about in the basic text also about this step is a very important step because it can cause you to relapse. It talks about, you know, don't let shame get in the way of making an amends. You know, if I'm ashamed of something that I did long ago, you know, and I'm with refraining from making that amends because of that shame, then I'm only hurting myself because I'm still holding on to it and I'm not getting rid of that guilt. So for me, you know, and what I've learned in reading this step is that no matter what, I've got to make the amends. No matter what, for me to get better and continue this journey of recovery. You know, there are some amends that, you know, I'm going to have a difficult time with. My first wife that I got a divorce from back in 93, this disease stole that marriage and that relationship from me. And that's a very big amends. That's one. My sponsor asked me, what's the one you fear the most of on that list? And I said that it'd be that one, you know, to my first wife, because this person was a good person. I couldn't stand up here and say anything bad about my first wife. My addiction ruined that relationship, and I need to make that amends to her. There's more talking with my sponsor that has to go on with that one because I don't want to injure her. She's in another relationship. She's married. Should it be made face to face? Should a letter be written on that one? You know, I don't know yet on that one. That's probably the most difficult one that's on that list. You know, on that list, when I made that list, my name was the first one on that list. I had to make amends to myself. My sponsor asked me if God was on that list, and God was on my list. You know, and I had to make an amends to God, too. But this is going to be an ongoing process. There's going to be people that I have on that list that I might not ever see. There's going to be people on that list that I might see up here. You know, I don't know. There's people laughing out there right now because there's probably a couple out there I got to make an amends to. But, you know, it's a process. I will never be done with this step. This step will always be in my life. And, you know, when I do run across the people that I do need to apologize to, hopefully I'll, at that moment and that time I will have the willingness to do it. But that's all I really have to share on that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Rob, who is from the Vision of Hope Group of NA.
Hey, Rob. Whoa.
Fanatic named Rob.
Hey, Rob.
I'd first like to thank my higher power for allowing me to be here, for having this day clean and for this day of life. Thank Joe for sharing. I was okay till I came up here. It got a little bit nervous. Joe talked about a lot of the different things that I talk about when I talk about making amends. And I was thinking about, well, when I first got clean. I got clean in August 5th of 88. So earlier this month, we celebrated 15 years clean. And I remember being in treatment. And you know how they give you those little exercises and things to do, and they wanted us to make a list of people we needed to make amends to. And I had myself on the list and didn't have anybody else. You know, I didn't think about my family because I had not yet got to the point where I was taking things out of their house. You know, there were some little things I wasn't doing, and it didn't dawn on me some of the other things, the other harm that I caused going through my addiction. You know, but that's just, you know, a little piece of my self-centeredness and how I was when I got here. And I was thinking, you know, working through the steps and trying to get an understanding of who I am, you know, and I was kind of looking at it like this, like, you know, going back to the fourth step and taking that inventory is kind of like I'm bagging up the trash, you know. And when I do the fifth step, I'm trying to tie the bag up. And then six and seven, I'm trying not to add anything more to it, you know. But like the making that list in the eighth step and the willingness that you need to just make the list, you know, because it's hard to make that list and not think about the next step that's coming, you know. And I had to constantly, you know, stay in touch with my sponsor and get put back on track, because I found out as I was making that list, I found out that there were still some resentments that I had that was some, like, leftover stuff from the fourth step, you know. And I've had a few sponsors since I've been clean, and one thing they always taught me was, like, if I'm working on a step and I'm struggling with some stuff, and I need to stop and back up and see why I'm struggling, you know, so I can get some clarity, you know. Because, like Joe said, making that list and being willing to make the amends is not about the other person, you know. It's about me getting rid of the baggage that will cause me to use if I don't deal with it. You know, the shame and guilt of all the stuff that we've done, you know, because it's like, I'm no different than anybody else. When I first got clean, I wanted to fix every bridge I burned right off the bat. But that wasn't happening, you know. And I remember some situations being around my family, like what Joe talked about. I guess when I had about somewhere between 2 and 3 years, I was going through this thing where every time I got around the family, I felt like I wanted to tell them I was sorry, but it wouldn't come out. You know, so I'm thinking, okay, maybe I need to jump on my fourth step to do my inventory. And I'm like, the sponsor I had at the time, I'm telling him I want to do the fourth step. He's like, practice the third. I'm like, man, I need to do this fourth step. He's like, practice the third. So I'm trying to like follow some direction here, but it got a little tough. And eventually, you know, I wound up doing that fourth step and doing the fifth, and would still get around my family and still had those same feelings. What I found out was like I really hadn't forgiven myself. You know, because it's like, in hindsight, it's like, how can I ask you to forgive me and I haven't forgiven me? You know, how can I ask somebody to believe that I'm trying to do the next right thing if I'm still not taking care of me and still doing the next wrong thing and still allowing my feelings to dictate my behavior, you know, or still copping out to being an addict? That's what we do, which is a bunch of junk, you know, but that's the kind of stuff that we do when we come in here, you know. Once I got the list done, for me, you know, like I had to do some letter writing, and what I did with that piece was like I just got with my sponsor and some people in my support group, and I read it to a couple of different people, and then I burned it. That didn't get rid of the feeling, you know, but it was just a small symbol of closure, so to speak, because I found out that everything that I've worked on and the things that I've tried to make amends for, even though, irregardless of whether the amend was accepted or not, the feeling from the action would still resurface. Because on any given day, I could be sitting in a meeting and somebody can share something that was similar to my story, and all of a sudden I'm feeling that stuff all over again. You know, and I found out that, you know, as a result of being clean, and you only have to be clean an hour and get a little bit of information here to mess up the next high. But it's like with stuff that I've worked on and things that I care about, I found out that like I cry sometimes just because I care. You know, and like there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of it for me was allowing my higher power to do his thing. See, because I found out that, like, that ninth step in making amends is a timing step. And I had to continue to pray for the willingness, because I didn't know when the situation would present itself when I have to make the amends to somebody. You know, and if I just pray for the willingness instead of praying for the outcome, I'd be okay. You know, because I found out, too, like, when that situation presented itself in my mind, I had to say the serenity prayer over and over because I didn't know how I was going to be accepted. You know, and I always have to remind myself, you know, in doing that it's not about whether they're going to be okay with it or not. It's just me trying to get better with me on the inside, you know, because recovery is an inside job, but it's like we clean up the outside first, and then we work on the inside, you know, and that's a long process. I still, some days, because of some of the stuff that I've done in recovery, because it's not squeaky clean, you know, I've messed up just like everybody else, but I try, once I started, like, getting into the habit of doing some right things, I didn't have to, like, say I'm sorry so much or apologize for stuff, because I don't know about y'all, but I hate having to backtrack and say, look, I messed up, you know. So in order for me to keep from doing that, I just try to treat people the way I want to be treated, you know, and I find out doing it that way is a whole lot less stuff that I got to clean up later on down the road. You know, that's not to say that there are some times when I say some stuff sideways that I need to apologize for, you know, later on down the line, which is like some 10-step stuff. But like there are still some people who are on that first list that I made that I haven't come in contact with. You know, when we talk about making amends except when it'll harm others, it's like I really need to be close contact and have a good communication with my sponsor so that he can let me know that, like, you know, you don't need to go tell her that you did this, 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 and this. You just need to knock that stuff off and don't do it anymore. You know, I had one sponsor I had when, I guess I had about 5 or 6 years. He was working the ninth step, and he felt the need to make amends to his wife. So he decided he needed to tell her everything he did while he was in his active addiction. He didn't stay married very long. You know, so it's like that serenity prayer, and I tell this to people all the time, especially, you know, new people. It's one of the, I think it's one of the strongest tools we have. Because from the day, time when I first got here, even up until now, if I got some stuff going on, if I recite that in my head enough times, I'll figure out what I can and can't do. Yeah, I might not like it, but at least I'll have some kind of direction. Because, you know, we're not always going to be able to get a hold of somebody. You know, because like me, I work 3 to 11. So when I get off of work, most of the people that I know are, like, getting ready to lay it down. So, and I've been on that shift for, like, I've been on my job for the last 10 years. So for me, sometimes it gets kind of lonely, and it's like I got to rely on my experience, the experience of other people, the few people that I can get a hold of, you know, because using my support group, there are some folks that I can get with when I get off of work or when I get jammed up, we really need to get with somebody who will take the place of my sponsor and give me some guidance. You know, I learned early on I didn't need to put all my eggs in one basket. You know, that step is crucial. You know, and Joe talked about that. You know, because it's like you can work all of those steps up to 8. But if you continue to walk around with that bag, is the shame and the guilt from some of the stuff that we do. If it doesn't make you use, you will walk around miserable as hell. You know, because I don't, you know, I choose not to say that using is automatic if we don't do some stuff. You know, but you can be clean and miserable, and you can be clean and crazy. You know, because I was one of them people who could read, and, you know, I got clean and I read through the basic text. And matter of fact, first chapter I read when I got clean was More Be Revealed. I skipped the steps and the traditions and everything else because I wanted to figure out what was coming down the pipe. And the only thing I learned was more was going to be revealed. So I had to start from scratch and read through the whole book. And like, what I suggest to people who asked me to sponsor them or anybody else that asked me is, like, read the whole book. Don't just, like, you know, it makes me crazy when I hear people tell me that their sponsor told them to, like, just read the first step for 30 days and continue reading the first step. And I'm like, well, what about the rest of the program? See, because the totality of the program takes effect as soon as we walk in the door. You know, and it's like, I may not understand what's in there, but if I at least read through it, when some stuff happens, I can kind of make a connection, you know, and it's like something else that doesn't change. It's like every time I get in the book, there's something else that sticks out at me that didn't stick out at me before. You know, it's like every day is a new day, and it's a new learning experience. I was thinking about my mom's, what Joe was talking about. I was clean for 4 years before she finally believed that I was going to stay clean. And I came into this program and have not relapsed. But just because of the way my life was before I got clean, with the I'll straighten it out and I'll straighten it out and I'll straighten it out kind of stuff, she just didn't think it was going to work. You know, and there was nothing that I could do about that. You know, folks that get clean and have kids, the kids are not going to be able to wait. The kids are not, you know, it's like, so certain situations we can work ourselves to a step, but then there's some situations that we're presented with where we have to do some stuff as soon as we come in the door. You know, because if you was half-assed taking care of your kids, you got to start taking care of your kids, right? You got to start feeding them and spending time and all that kind of stuff. So it's like they ain't trying to wait. They ain't trying to hear you say, well, wait till I get to the ninth step and we'll start doing it. you know, on the financial events, on the financial pieces, like, I don't know how many different places I got evicted from and had utility bills, but if I wanted to get out on my own and be a productive member of society, I couldn't call PPNL and say, well, I need you to turn me on, and I'll pay the old bill when I get to the ninth step and get ready to make, you know, the financial amends. I needed to take care of that stuff so that I could put my life in order. So it's kind of like some of that stuff we can wait to do, but some of it we can't. And it just all depends on what it is each of us has to deal with when we get here. You know, I don't get asked to share a lot. I'm one of them kind of people that's like in the background doing service, you know. And part of making amends to me is also like giving back to the community. You know, I got clean where I grew up at, so it's like I know everybody and little sister just about. And if they didn't know me, they saw me, you know, and they see how I'm living now. And it's like, in my neighborhood, I'm like everybody's big brother. You know, all the kids come and bring me their bikes and things like that to fix. You know, I take kids fishing, do all kind of little stuff. And it's nothing real big. It's just that for me, as much as I took for the 18 years that I used, you know, the little bit that I can do here and there is something that can't be measured. Because I was talking to my friend earlier, and we were talking about the time we spend with kids. You know, it doesn't always have to be Hershey Park. You know, it could just be skating up and down the sidewalk. You know, I've learned it's like the little things in life that I pay attention to that have the most profound effect on me and the other people around me. You know, it's the big stuff. Anybody can do that. You know, and it's like I still have a home group, like I said, it's the Vision of Hope. I still go in, and I'll make coffee, I'll clean up, I'll do everything that I did, just like I did it when the day I came in the door. Because I don't believe that, you know, after I've been here for a while, that I have gotten to a certain point where I've arrived and shouldn't do some stuff. See, because I believe in what the program talks about, leading by example. Because if I'm not doing it, how can I tell you to do it or suggest that you do some stuff? You know, it was a whole lot easier for me to follow somebody that was doing some things, you know, showing up at a meeting and all the other things that we have to do. It's getting to the point now where I'm getting ready to start digging for stuff to talk about, so it's time for me to sit down. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Rob. I'd like to thank both the speakers, both Joe and Rob. I really do appreciate your experience, strength, and hope. It's meant a lot to me. We still have quite a bit of time, so I'd like to open up the meeting if anybody would like to share. Hi, Marianne. You want to come up?
Thank you guys for sharing about this.
Marianne, you want to come up?
Okay.
Thanks.
I want to thank both Joe and Rob for sharing about this step and their experience and their strength and hope. I am on the ninth step, and I have just last night. I had no idea what workshops were going to be here this weekend, and I was praying, and you know, my God was just placed on my heart once again. The principle of willingness. I'm really hung up with this one amend. And when Joe was up there sharing about his grandmother, wow, took me back to both my grandmothers, back my active addiction, and the amends that I need to make to both of them. And I like that letter. They're both passed on now. But this amend that I need to make is to a person who is still alive. I don't know for how much longer. And that guilt and that shame eats at me every day. And my willingness is definitely not there yet. And I now know it's because I have some fear, and it's the outcome. That's what I'm hung up on is the outcome. And I'm really grateful that you guys both touched on it's not about the outcome. And you know, there's some legal aspects involved with this amend. You know, I won't be able to make this amend in person because I'm not allowed to be anywhere near this person. And so I know I have to do it in a letter form. And, you know, I've gotten with my sponsor quite a bit on this. But it's the willingness, and it's because of the fear of the outcome. And I'm very grateful. I heard everything I needed to hear. So thank you.
Anybody else? Come on, we can have the time. Okay, that's it then. We have a nice way of closing, but before that, could we have the reading of Just for Today at the podium, please? Thanks.
Manatic named Erica.
Hi, Erica.
Just for Today. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Can
we form a circle of close,
please, with a serenity prayer? Oh, a